Welcome to
Stay Cool Forever,
the podcast where we are breaking down 90s science fiction movies, unpacking their relevance through a modern lens. And man, did the 90s have some good science fiction movies.
Hell yeah. And again, I think this time around we're doing just 97.
Yes, for science these first four, all 97.
Fucking brilliant. So we did Starship Troopers, we did
Event Horizon,
which was fucking dope.
We are now doing Gattaca today, and I think up next we're gonna do the Fifth Element. Yeah. And we were on the fence about Contact, which also came out in 97.
I mean, that's true. We can.
We'll get around to it. I know that's
eventually. It's kind of a perennial one.
Yeah,
Sagan book. It's somewhere up here in my house.
Yeah.
I guess I can't see it. Oh, there it is. Contact, Carl Sagan.
Nice.
Yeah.
Relevant book, referenced a lot, so I think that'd be like fun to go back
for sure
and check out.
Yeah.
But these have all been super rewarding to go through.
So rewarding. Again, for those of you that have been with us since the beginning, yes, we did rom-coms. Yes, we did holiday movies. Yes, we did all of those things, but Wade and I work together. I'm Zach.
I'm Wade.
And we spend so much time theorizing and pontificating about technology and science and the future. And, I love Star Trek, for those of you that haven't fucking picked up on that yet. You know, and Wade loves science fiction. And fuck, I mean, you introduced me to the book. I haven't read it, but the one about black holes?
Oh, yes. Black Holes and Time Warps.
Yeah. Who's that by?
I feel it's like a fool for it might be Kip Thorne, actually.
You're pretty sure it's
it is Kip Thorne.
Yeah,
he was a consultant for Interstellar,
yeah,
to help them get the science of that right.
Yeah,
and this is just stuff that we nerd out about all the time, like just the nature of physics, quantum physics, and astrology, and even ancient civilizations, just all that, all the kind of stuff that your dad watches on Spike TV. That's the kind of stuff. That's our bread and butter.
I mean, to pull you behind the curtain a little bit, in our office, Wade and I have put up on the walls fucking conspiracy theories, because A, we think it's funny, and B, because fuck, what if?
Yeah.
You know? Literally.
And you can connect them all. Even don't get us wrong, like, we're not foil hat like psychos,
sure.
But I will humor any one of them
at 100%.
I'll give it a fair shake and try to think it through and decide how I feel about it.
Yeah.
So having them all up on the wall just so we can connect threads and add new stuff, and then when people visit us in the office, they're like, what do you guys do here?
Yeah. No, I lost out on a notary because someone walked in and be like, you're the notary? And I said, well, yeah. And then he looked around at the walls and never, ever contacted me. You know, but it's so easy to draw these comparisons and these lines and these threads and these through lines to all these conspiracy theories if they're all readily available in your visual space.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really quite fun. But yeah, so we spend so much time talking about, you know, Neil and astrophysics and, you know, Planet X and ancient civilizations. And so it seemed appropriate to pivot the podcast to just science fiction stuff.
Yeah, because it's always going to be timeless. The stories can translate without being too personal to your modern time. You know, you have alien refugees that you empathize with, and you're like, oh, hey, wait a minute, this is, like, relevant today. It's always relevant. These stories are all...
It seems most of the time, like, as we've gotten older, that these science fiction stories in 2019 seem even more relevant than they did when I first fucking saw them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real captivating kind of notion that this is still really happening.
Yeah.
You know?
It was, I watched the second Black Mirror from the new season that just came out. No spoilies. It's called Smithereens. And it is modern. It's not even, like, in the future. It's solely based on the implications of social media and certain app developers and big tech companies having more of your information than the federal government does.
How does this play into that short story idea? The Neuralink one. And
the story idea that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't touch into it at all. I just thought it was interesting that it's not the future. It is today. Like, we are living in the future, I guess, was the roundabout point I was trying to make.
Sure,
You know, things are like...
Hey,
way
we fucking are. We're going to the Mars.
Yeah.
In less than a decade, just over 15 years.
Yeah, probably going to build some colony on a moon. Probably going to try to land on an asteroid pretty soon as well.
Asteroids are the key. Mm-hmm. They're going to get rare earth metals that are... rather rare asteroid metals.
Yeah.
It's very, very exciting. I think so, yeah. And in 2019, science fiction's so fucking relevant that it's so much fun to go back to these things that are 20 plus years old now and go, oh my god, they nailed it.
Yeah. And fun trivia on Gattaca, apparently at one point, it was probably a decade at least ago, NASA said that this was one of the most feasible, plausible science fiction movies.
Really?
In terms of like a future they could envision. This, you know, NASA scientists saying this.
No shit.
Yeah. At that time.
Doesn't surprise me. CRISPR babies in China.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening now.
Yeah.
It's happening. Okay, so I guess let's say, so we did Gattaca. Gattaca was shockingly produced by Danny DeVito.
Yeah, he produced stuff.
What the fuck? God bless that guy. What was his name in It's Always Sunny?
Frank.
God bless Frank. But so this movie has so many goddamn actors, it's fucking wild.
Yeah, all right, so Ethan Hawke.
Yes, Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke.
Sorry, I had to get the image of him, yeah.
Who I remember from the film Explorers, where he was a child actor, and it's about children who build a spaceship.
What? I've never heard of this.
We'll discuss. Discuss later. It was very formative for me. But
interesting.
Yeah, he's just been in a ton of stuff, like theater actor.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Okay. Ethan Hawke, Jude Law.
Yes.
Uma Thurman. What were we gonna say about Jude Law?
Oh, Jude Law's first American movie.
That's right. Yeah, you were telling me that. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
He crushed it.
Oh yeah, he was great.
his character arc might be my favorite in this movie.
Same.
Because he starts off as an unknown, then he becomes a rich, you know, kind of snobby, wants to keep his rich lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end wants to be released from the world that he lives in, but cares so much about Ethan Hawke,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so sweet. They actually kind of become best friends and brothers and.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I love the way that he became invested in Ethan Hawke's dream and ability. Because the whole idea of a, you know, godchild competing with these genetically engineered perfect kids is, like, laughable. But there he was, you know, not quite taking it seriously. I'm just in it for the money. I'll give you my piss, my blood, my fingerprints, whatever.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, by the end, he clearly realizes, like, wow, this guy has something I don't. Like a drive, a spirit, yeah,
an interest, something that'll take him further. And I think that's the most powerful notion of this movie is that he can do it. You know, just because he's a fucking what did they call him?
Their derogatory word for somebody
degenerate,
yeah.
You know, and it's like
or a borrowed,
borrowed. Do I have borrowed ladder?
Yes, that's the one.
You know, and it's just kind of crazy because, A, I can really foresee this happening.
Mm-hmm.
B, you know, what the fuck? It must not be the...
B, what the fuck?
You know, seriously, man, it's crazy. Like, that's so not cool. How are you going to write off fucking people who have an interest in a drive just because their genes aren't modified?
Yeah, or there's the statistics. That's the things. Like,
it's data driven.
Even with Uma Thurman's character, they said she had an unacceptable possibility for a heart condition.
Yeah.
Even if it was just 1%, like, well, the other guys have 0%. So
yeah. Like, which, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up. That's my biggest qualm with this story.
Mm.
Is she is a gene fuck up to some extent because of that heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand they don't go into like the sheet that is Ethan Hawke's, you know, genes.
Sure.
But the main thing they leaned on was that he was physically more incapable than other people due to a heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
So shouldn't then him and Uma Thurman been of the same class?
I think it was based on probability, though.
Okay.
Like, what I got out of it was when they read Ethan Hawke's thing, like, X percent heart failure, X percent diabetes, X percent...
That's right, he was going to die by, like, 30.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, my read was that he beat the odds. Like, if he had a 95% chance of dying at 30 from a heart failure, he was the 5%. Like, mm-hmm. everything, mm-hmm. you know, no one gave him a chance. Whereas Uma Thurman probably had, you know, perfect...
Everything else,
low probability, but just enough of a, you know, heart condition probability to make her a pariah within the edited, you know, genetically perfect people group. Like,
okay,
you know, it's being like upper class, but she's like the poorest of the upper class.
Sure.
Like, she's still
middle class.
Still doing great, but among those people, like, seems like a loser.
Where would you rank this in Uma Thurman's list of movies?
One of the better ones. I didn't remember her being as present in this movie. And granted, again, it has its kind of noirisms, and she was probably one of the only showcased females in the movie, but she still had an arc and a motivation. Like, you got to see her grow throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And it was pretty early in her career, too. I think this was one of the things that was putting her on the map as her career, you know, for the A-list got going.
I agree. I've got her pulled up. There's Beautiful Girls in 96.
96. Okay.
Oh, Pulp Fiction was 94.
Okay, yeah.
Interesting. Before then, she was Maid Marian in 91. I don't know what that is.
Wait, what?
In a Robin Hood version. Pulp Fiction, 94. And then, whoa, Les Miserables in 98. Gattaca in 97. Batman and Robin in 97.
Yeah.
That'll definitely get you somewhere. And then Kill Bill in
2003. Yeah, so for her 90s flicks, this was kind of right in the middle of when she was an A-lister.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And then got to be again after Kill Bill. Mm-hmm. It's funny, she like... I mean, we're looking at her IMDb. She definitely does a lot of work.
I haven't seen a bunch of these things. I had no idea she was in The Producers. But anyway, she's going to be in... It's pre-production right now. Tau Ceti 4. And that reminds me of Khan, who is exiled to City Alpha 5.
Oh, okay.
So there's, you know.
Probably some space travel movie going off of that name.
Definitely a space movie off of that name, yeah.
Nice.
So I kind of can't wait. That's great. And I'm not going to lie, she was in Imposters, which is a TV show that I have no idea about, and that makes me want to watch it.
Hmm.
I would probably watch anything Uma Thurman is in.
Yeah, I really enjoy
Straight
her.
Up, yeah. She's great.
She's really tall, too.
Yeah, no, for sure. How tall?
Like 6'1".
6'1"?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna take $1, and then we'll see where she lands up.
Okay. under.
How tall? 5'11".
Oh, damn, okay.
Still taller than me.
It was like heels. There was this one shot. You know how a lot of times they do the apple box thing? Where they'll put the male lead on, you know, lifts or on a box so that the woman looks shorter compared to him. There's one shot in here where she was side by side with Ethan Hawke, and I'm like, damn, she's like the same height as him. So either he's short or she's tall. She's tall.
She's definitely tall, but let's see how tall Ethan Hawke is. 5'10", they're like the same height. Yeah.
All right.
There it is.
Yeah, she's probably wearing heels, too.
He did not age well.
No.
Hello. Look at that. I mean, okay,
He's got to be in, like, his 50s.
No,
he's probably, like, only 10 years older than me, actually. Okay.
Do you know where he was born?
This country? I mean, I don't know. He's a child actor, so my guess would be, like, Hollywood or New York.
Austin.
No shit.
Yeah, said Austin.
Good for him.
It's crazy. Guess he grew up in New York, but he was born in Austin.
Yeah, we get a couple. McConaughey, Woody, you know, Texas, occasionally.
Yo, your boy, yeah.
Delivers a good actor.
Oh, that's right. I'm a fucking fool. Ethan Hawke was in Training Day.
Oh, yes.
My God, that's right.
Yeah, he fucking, you know, was a child actor. The dude is working a ton.
Bro, good for him.
As far as big movies that you've seen, like, you know, I'm not going to say they're few and far between, but he's not, I don't know, I think he's a household name.
He for sure is. I for sure know him. Wow, he's in a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Explorers.
Oh, there it is. That's 80, the first one.
85. So not 90s, but I might encourage you to watch that one on your own.
Yeah, no, I'm more than happy to. Wow, the show Alias. You remember that show?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's in like the same era as something Ally McBeal.
I think so.
Right?
I didn't watch Alias. I only know that is like what put JJ on the map.
Abrams?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he did Alias?
I think so. I think he was like a creator producer on that one.
What's I always think when I think 90s shows like Alias, I think of La Femme Nikita.
Ah, yes.
Ally McBeal. My mom loved La Femme Nikita.
I was only aware of it. There was like a movie, and then there was the show, and I think it might have actually been a remake of a French show or comic book or something. Like,
really?
It's like an old story that keeps getting kind of redone.
Okay.
Like in a King Arthur sort of way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It seemed badass. So I'm almost done with Voyager. I have like 4 seasons left, mm-hmm. which in the grand scheme of things is almost done. And I've been Googling science fiction shows to watch, and that one came up.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, La Femme Nikita was a show.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom loved it. You know, I mean, powerful woman story, so why not? That's a complete...
No, I'm like, I'm trying to think of other sci-fi shows I like. They always get canceled after one season.
No, they always do. I mean, I'll probably watch Firefly. I'm for sure just going to watch all the Stargates. In Battlestar Galactica. That's my real plan.
Which one? Like what first? Stargate or Battlestar?
I have it saved somewhere, the order.
So you've already charted out the next year of viewing.
There are more Stargates than there are Battlestar Galacticas. And so I think I just want to slam through the Battlestar Galactica, which I think is only 4 to 7 seasons.
Yeah, I think like 5. If I remember right.
Sure. And then Stargate has a bunch of iterations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figure I'll just watch
Battlestar Galactica. Kind of put that in the middle.
Yeah. And then move on to Stargate. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I'll move on to whatever, Barry.
Right.
No, you know, there's all these shows. I was at my family picnic today and everyone's like, have you seen Barry? And, you know, I saw the first couple episodes mm-hmm. and I thought it was great. But, you know, I'm slamming Star Trek by Stardate, dude. I can't. If I want a fuck off show, that's what I'm gonna watch.
That's gotta be fun. Like for the last year, anyone's like, "Hey, so what have you been watching? Like Star Trek? Like, oh, I thought you were no, I'm on to I'm doing Discovery now. Like, oh, cool.
Nice, dude. Sure, yeah. Star Trek again, huh?
Still never saw Breaking Bad. Very late to the Game of Thrones game.
Yeah, exactly. Fun fact, Jeff's never seen Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And so we're going to start this week. And we're just going to start watching it separately, but kind of go on the journey together.
Yeah.
So that'll be my other show, I guess, when I'm not... I don't know.
When you're not knee-deep in sci-fi.
Yeah. Just watch Breaking Bad. But... We digress. You should know, both Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman were in Robot Chicken.
Also got married after this movie.
What?
Yep, they were married for like between 5 and 10 years, and I believe this is the movie that they met on.
Shut the fuck up.
They were married the year after. Yeah, no, for real.
Wow, no way.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That happens a lot.
Jesus Christ.
So getting back to the film, I didn't write it down, but I wanted to look it up, the quotes that start off the movie, because you're dealing mm-hmm. with such a dope mm-hmm. premise, like just such a cool science fiction premise. And the quotes are one from the Bible: consider what God has done, who can straighten out what he has made crooked? And then the following quote: I not only think we will tamper with Mother Nature, I think Mother wants us to.
Who said that one?
That was William Galen. I'm assuming
William Galen, of course.
Naturally, some kind of science man, much like ourselves.
Yes, we're doctors of brainology. For those of you who don't understand that reference, we also do a Bachelorette podcast.
Yes.
Where we're doctors of brainology, which we will, in fact, be recording immediately following this.
Yes.
Those are powerful quotes. And I think our lust for perfection... and efficiency is already, well, in China, already leading us down this road.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you asked, Zach, how does gene editing relate to Star Trek? Well, Wade, genetic wars, you know, the eugenics wars.
Yes.
Prior to stories like Enterprise, Discovery, and the original series, the entire world breaks down into three factions. Basically, it's like China and Russia, you know, and the Southeastern Asians over here, and then it's the Middle East and Africa together, mm-hmm. and then it's the North America, South America with Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes three factions, and they go on an all-out war and create genetically modified humans to engage in this war. Go ahead.
Are these representatives of the faction? In kind of like a let's use like the Aryan Ubermensch kind of thing, where like
yeah.
the Europeans make the perfect European, the everyone, Asians make the perfect Asian, yes. Like okay, yeah.
And then it's scary because it's kind of like if you had AI robots and send them to war, but in this case you have genetically modified humans and send them to war, and so they're all basically battling for the leader of the
planet,
yeah, and this is like one step, one great war and step before globalization. So then you have Zefram Cochrane who breaks the warp barrier and the Vulcans land and find out. And that's in the middle of the war and kind of the fallout, like 8 years, 10 years or so into the eugenics war is when they break the warp barrier. And they're like, oh, fuck, there are aliens out there and maybe we should all band together. And it was because of breaking the warp barrier that there was a globalization and they put the war to rest.
Cool.
Yeah. And so this being a very real possibility of a story, by transitive property, it makes Star Trek a very real story that could potentially happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you heard it here first.
Yeah. No, but again, like that's the relevance of it. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Because you know, you consider gene editing, if you can make a perfect kid, splicing perfectly, there's going to be an income disparity to that.
Yes.
Like, only the rich people are going to be able to make the perfect kids. And then what? Only the rich people are going to be able to go to good schools and get good jobs, and you're creating an underclass of janitors, like, you know, what Ethan Hawke was.
Yeah. Vincent?
Vincent, I believe, yes.
Yeah.
This was a very white movie, too. I don't mean to say that to, like, drum up controversy.
No, for sure.
And
yeah.
I wonder if that has to do with locale, or if it's, like, a commentary on the income disparity, or if it was just, you know, mid-90s Hollywood not thinking, not thinking
I'm sure
about
they
inclusion.
Just weren't thinking.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, because you would imagine you could make that, you could draw that line very clearly
very
today.
Obviously,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's unfortunate, actually, now that you bring that up. I mean, because, you know, you could have had... You could have slid in Idris Elba.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he would have been a great main character who's like, dude, this doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I can go to Neptune?
Titan.
That's a...
Saturn moon.
That's a Saturn moon. The Sirens of Titan.
Yeah. Which I thought was cool, that's where they were going.
Yeah.
It's one of the few moons in our solar system that has water, so it's
yeah.
it's like a very interesting, like, I think there's like that, Europa,
mm-hmm.
maybe another one, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's my favorite Kurt Vonnegut book, The Sirens of Titan.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, and so, yeah, there's a weird romanticism of this movie for me. Even in rewatching it, it's like, oh, wow. This is kind of great. They really mask a rags to riches kind of story
mm-hmm.
in high science and the idea that you can be whatever you want to be regardless of the obstacles.
Yeah.
And so it's a really profound, heartwarming story told in a very interesting fashion.
Yeah. There's that obvious class issue of, you know, an imposter. There's that element to it.
Printing the pauper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, borrowing someone's identity, like the switching places with the king or whatever.
Exactly,
like, yeah, there's really a lot going on.
Yeah.
And wanted to ask you, I think we touched on it very briefly earlier on, like, how did you feel about the idea of these genetically perfect people being less human? Or the question I wrote is, do the perfect people have souls or less of souls?
Wow. Which, a metaphysical question.
No, well, you know, just because, like, you see it in the movie, like, Ethan Hawke has a lot of passion and drive, like we were saying earlier, and some of the perfect people are just very sort of, you know, by the book, like, well, this is expected, like...
I don't think a question of soul is fair.
Sure. I loaded it pretty heavily to talk about it.
I do think they do have souls still, but the question of worthwhile lives, lives of meaning, is questionable. Because if everything is given to you, you don't understand what it took to get you there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the power of Ethan Hawke, is Ethan Hawke, you know, had trials and tribulations the whole way. And so getting to the point that he had, you actually are watching what he went through to get to that level. And so you know that he knows the value of his life and he's ready to give it all up, you know, when the jig is up.
Mm-hmm.
But as it turns out, I think the human condition of you've never wronged me, so get on the ship, dude. I know you've been fake the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
you're holding your dick with the wrong hand.
Yeah. That's so sweet. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, so maybe the idea of human compassion transcends this. And I think maybe that's the hope. Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah, this is all fucked up, but maybe it works out in the end, and it's like, well, clearly you had the fucking drive, Ethan Hawke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not saying you need to have drive to be treated fairly. I'm saying that it in this particular instance, it set him apart, and it's like, how are you going to tell him no?
Yeah.
The dude's better than me.
Exception to the rule. He's better than his brother. He's better than anyone else at Gattaca.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so there's beauty in that, and I think... Yeah, they do have souls. I think they're valid humans, and I think furthermore the degenerates are valid souls as well. And there shouldn't be this class disparity, but it's a great take on, you know, money and politics, and it's a great take on class disparity now. You know, the rich run the world. It's true. Jeff Bezos is going to the moon because he's creating a country club for rich people on the moon. I'm sure of it.
He's gonna make Elysium.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
So when they're done ruining this planet, they all have a place to go.
Yes. Yeah. Have you seen the Colorado airport?
You're referring to the Illuminati, like the super basements, bro, and architecture they have.
Bro, it is shaped in a
swastika. What?
Okay, let me show you this.
Oh man, I have to do some editing. While you're looking this up, I just. Going off of my initial question, I thought it was interesting that Jude Law's character explains that, you know, I wasn't drunk when I was stepped in front of that car. This notion of him maybe being a parallel to, like, you know, the rich kid or someone who didn't have to struggle or earn the things that they have, that he couldn't appreciate his perfect genes. And in a moment of, you know, whatever, like, fuck this, what's the point? He steps in front of a car and gets himself paralyzed.
No, yeah.
And then only seeing Ethan Hawke struggle... does he realize, like, the value of what opportunity he had?
Here we go. Look at this, dude.
Whoa!
Yeah, the runways of the Colorado airport is quite literally a swastika.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
I mean, I'm
reading... There's like, one extra line, but if you just look at the mapping on it, there it is.
It's pretty effing close.
Nazi runway.
Yeah.
We were listening to, like,
a coast to coast, maybe?
Someone was explaining that there's so much symbolism and architecture and, like,
honestly, eagles, that might have been Mason in Ireland.
Illuminati symbols. Like, there's... I somehow got it in my head that this was going to be the airport that all the, like, presidents and feds and ruling class people, like, escape to when shit goes down. This is the fallout shelter.
I wonder if there's a LIDAR for this, because under it, there... it's rumored that there is an underground sort of citadel or city, you know, because it's
a mile high. So if, like, the earth floods or gets bombed, it's going to be the safer place.
It's high up. It's a smart place. And this is so John Ireland, voice of the Lakers, of Mason in Ireland. He he's like, have you ever flown into Colorado Airport? And Mace will go, no, I haven't, or I have, or whatever. And he goes, it's so not near Colorado, it's crazy. You know, you don't just, like, fly into LAX. Imagine if there was no traffic at LAX. How long would it take you to get to downtown? 15, 20 minutes? It takes, like, over an hour to get from here to Colorado. I mean, to the main city.
Denver,
yeah.
It's not in Denver.
No, it is so far from it. It's crazy.
But this is the biggest...
This is the biggest airport in the area.
Wow.
And he goes, it's fucking crazy flying into this place because it takes so long to get to and so long to get from. So it's quite... It's really quite an isolated place. But if you fly into it, and it's an international airport, and so... It for sure, there's more going on here, especially with all the... Yeah. They say it's one of the only airports with all of these, like, fine paintings that have this really weird symbolism. You know, and then they have the horse with their red eyes.
Yes,
as, like, its, like, marker thing. Yeah. Really captivating thing. I completely forgot what you were just saying beforehand. I got sucked down this Nazi runway.
No, it's fine. We should add it to the wall. No, just a cake topper to my... To the... Perfect People Have Souls that Jude Law kind of threw away his gift because he didn't have a drive or feel a sense of purpose
because
or meaning.
Because he wasn't drunk and walked in front of the car.
Yes. And as you were saying, that maybe the value that those people get from their lives or the sense of meaning is less than because they do have the privilege and everything's given to them and they are perfect and capable.
Yeah.
And someone who struggles obviously is going to appreciate what they worked for a little more.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, totally. And I think that, again, is the beauty of this story. You know, is Ethan Hawke has this drive, this desire, this want.
Two things.
Yes.
Did you notice that Ethan Hawke's dad was the actor who played Casey Jones?
Who the fuck is that?
Casey Jones from Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah?
Whatever, you've been listening to every episode. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Listener out there. Second thing. Do you think that the extreme drug testing and DNA testing was necessary?
No.
Every goddamn day of work, you got to give blood. You think like you pass the interview and they're like, cool, I know your face. Like, there's really no need for this expensive verification process.
That's not a real world tactic, man.
Yeah.
That's a total dystopian move.
But like, man, they must have fucking hated non-gene edited people, or like, what happened? You know, did an imposter like blow up? Did he cause a Chernobyl or something? Like,
yeah, no, Chernobyl, nice. I think that this is a classic example of keeping the rich rich. It creates jobs.
Oh, just having like a buffer of security, like,
why not?
Yeah.
That doctor's gene edited. The doctor's got to check everybody here. Also, I think the idea might be that it's like the FBI of space travel. Gattaca.
Oh, sure.
You work at Gattaca. So, bling, you know, you got to check in and you got to have the right clearance kind of thing.
That's a good point, actually. You don't want someone who shouldn't have a spaceship stealing it. Yeah. But still, like, I don't know. Like, you know what these people look like because they've worked there every day. Maybe just give them, like, a...
Dude,
you know, a card.
At like our building where you have to have a key card to get in.
Yeah.
Let's say you forget it. You know some of the security guards who would just let you in. They see you every goddamn day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They would recognize you, but 100%. I don't know.
100%.
Let's just say for the future It felt excessive to me is all I'm saying.
Oh, it totally, totally fucking did.
Especially at the end where they're like, oh, hey, like, you're totally clear to lead a mission to Titan, but we're going to need you to pee in here just to make sure that you're still who you said. In case you're not who you said you were for the last 2 years totally proved yourself. Like,
yeah.
Why does it fucking matter?
Well, and I think that's the take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why does it matter? If you have the drive and the want, it shouldn't matter. If you have the technical skill, you shouldn't have to have the genes.
Okay. This just occurred to me. Does this speak to modern times in a sense of that you are worth more as the data, as your resume, than you are as like a person in person? You know what I mean? Because you could have the credentials on paper, but maybe you're like a shit to work with, or you don't get along with people, or like know how to communicate, but your resume and your LinkedIn looks golden.
Yeah.
But if you're just a person who's like, no, I'm like a fast learner, I'm really driven, I get along well with people, but I don't have the job experience.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, yeah, you could totally make that comparison. I think so.
Hmm.
I will say, my favorite quote, they say, we all are atoms, and we were once part of a star, and maybe I'm leaving, but maybe I'm going home. And I had a great geology teacher, who I bring up to you all the time, mm-hmm. off there, who basically went on, he took one entire class worth of time explaining to us that the value of a garnet or a jade or a turquoise, you know, things that are earth stones,
mm-hmm.
are more valuable than diamonds because they're made directly from stars. Because the earth is made up of stardust and worse stardust,
mm-hmm.
you know, and diamonds are just a chemical reaction that occurs on the earth due to pressure.
Mm.
And diamonds are a controlled necessity. So he goes, if you're going to marry somebody, you know, give them, you know, maybe a ruby. Because it is actually from something that's, you know, what, 5 billion years old now? Something that's way more rare than diamonds. And so nice. It was a really captivating hour and a half. And then at mm-hmm. the end, you know, it was like, hey, Dr. Wilbur, so you're married. What does your wife's ring look like? And he goes, well, I mean, I had to buy her a diamond.
So for all your preaching.
Yeah. No, yeah. But, yeah. You know, and it's because there's social worth in that.
Sure.
And I get that. I do. But I find it sweet and profound that Ethan Hawke goes, maybe I'm leaving or maybe I'm going home, because the stars mm-hmm. are our home. We're all the same. People are fucking people. It doesn't matter your genes. You are made up of stardust.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the cosmic beauty of this story.
Yeah, it is a really lovely sentiment.
Yeah, it really is. It really, really is.
Like, in a way, he had the most zen human spirit, even though his life was one of, like, struggle
mm-hmm.
and deceit, just to kind of make the point that this kind of stuff should not matter.
Mm-hmm.
You should value a person based on, you know, who they are, what they do. Like,
totally.
So.
That's Stell, your favorite co-host, everybody.
Trying to dig a hole in the couch. Say hi, Stell.
Stay high, Stell. There you go. Hey, right, got some proper wheezes in there.
That audio will show up. All right, question. If you could genetically modify your child, presuming you have uh-huh. kids one day, would you do it and make them perfect?
Wow.
It's still you, just the best of you.
Okay, sales pitchman. Okay, question. Am I in the realm of Gattaca? Or is it right now?
No, right now.
Right now, no.
No.
Absolutely not.
Just no need. You think honest upbringing would be more value than...
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer in when your card is pulled, your card is pulled. So, you know, life is finite. Just enjoy it. And I'm not going to put any expectations on someone who hasn't even been born.
Fair and decent.
Yeah. However, if it was in the time of Gattaca, I wouldn't want to right out the gates, you know, kneecap my kid. You know, if everyone's doing it, then we're gonna do it.
Sure.
You know, and I don't wanna make that sound like I'm part of the sheep. It's just I would like my kid to have a fair shake.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Yeah, I mean that. I mean, if it is a Gattaca world,
that's the
equivalent of teaching them the native language. Like, mm-hmm. it would just be a disservice not to do it at that point if you could.
Correct. Yeah. Whereas now it's like, no, I would just rather have a natural upbringing and see. You know, I'm gonna love them regardless. See how it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be the best.
Yeah.
Lord knows my dogs weren't genetically modified. Look at her, she's shaking.
Just for no reason. Just anticipating our...
Stella, it's hot in here. We turned the air off to record. Mm-hmm. It's starting to get a little balmy in here, and the dog is shaking like it's cold. What about you? I assume your answer is probably similar.
No, I absolutely would.
Yeah?
Today, nice. As it is, I would. Yeah, oh yeah, man. There's stuff. There's stuff, I think. Okay. You know, I haven't had my genes mapped, but some things that I'm predisposed to that, like, I just... If I passed it to my kid, I'd feel so shitty and guilty. And if I could remove it, you know, then I would.
Can you scrape out the depression and, you know, addiction?
Addictive personality. Yeah, exactly. Like,
that's a fair take, man.
Make him not instantly drawn to alcohol.
Man, I 100% got that from my father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah.
So I respect that.
All right. Flip question. If you could imposter anything, if you could do what Ethan Hawke did and infiltrate some profession or world that you are not technically qualified to be a part of, what would it be?
Fuck. Well, that's a great question. I'm buying time. I think I would want to... I want to get into a room with people like Sean Carroll and Neil Tyson and Bill Nye.
Mm.
I would love to imposter someone who gets to, you know, I guess I would say go be on a panel with them,
mm-hmm.
but then I would have to fake it. But like, I just want to be with them when they're talking amongst themselves, but understand it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Okay.
Like maybe be a mechanical engineer and, you know, have a metaphysical conversation about space. With Neil and Sean and Hunter Green and
all right, so yeah, like
the intellectuals of our society,
high academia, Nobel
for sure.
Prize laureate
yeah.
class of people,
yeah, or Fringe. I mean, if I could get in with Robert Schock and Graham Hancock, like mm-hmm. that would be awesome.
Yeah,
you know, like just any level of academia where I can just be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, just be privy to those kinds of conversations, cutting, you know, bleeding edge of new ideas.
Yeah.
Very cool.
What about you?
I don't know, porn. Maybe. Maybe be a grower, work some blackjack tables. I don't know. You know, I wrote the question down. I didn't think about it for myself. Like, it'd be a race car driver, maybe.
In a Formula One?
Yeah, I think just...
Shit, dude, I mean...
I would
the
you're
baseball player? Sure.
Yeah, you're going with something very noble, which is like to be around the greatest minds of our time.
I need to learn, man.
I think I would just go for a thrill seeker kind sure. of thing. Like I want to be with high octane people, like
interesting.
Living on yachts and base jumping or something.
I respect that.
Or if there was some group of Point Break style criminals that like did a bunch of heists but only while doing extreme sports.
Like parkour heists.
Yeah, or like motocross, like heists that involve dangerous...
The Italian job.
Sports, yep.
Yeah, okay. I want to be in Ocean's 11.
Yep, okay, yeah, there it is. No, honestly, like, that
no,
would...
fuck yeah.
For me, it would be fun to be, like, a career criminal.
Legit career criminal, yeah.
Like, not, like, a dealer or someone who shoots
George
people.
George Clooney
but like,
and Brad Pitt of Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Those are Matt Damon.
Yes.
Those are great career criminals.
Yeah, so I think I would like to imposter as an imposter.
Nice. So, nice. The Joker. I'd like to be the Joker.
Cause, sure, yeah.
No, yeah. No, I get that too. I guess I was taking more of a realistic take.
No, I love your answer.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah. I'm drawn to your answer, though, now.
Yeah. Because I don't have the constitution to, like... cheat people and you know but it looks so fun in movies.
Hell yeah.
Okay, finally, would you endure an extremely painful surgery to be a couple inches taller?
No No, it's fine. You know, so I always wanted to be 6 foot, but I ended up being 3/4 inch taller than my older brother, and that's enough.
Yeah, all right.
That was just enough for me, man.
You know what? I'm about the same. My middle brother's taller, but my oldest brother, I think he's like an inch shorter than me.
And it
fucking kills him. It eats him up inside, and
I'm
that's
sure
enough.
Yeah, sure. My little brother's taller than me. But I'm still taller than the oldest, so fuck them.
That's what matters.
That is what matters. That's exactly it.
Nice.
Well, I gotta say, that was a spirited take on Gattaca that went everywhere.
No, absolutely. It lends itself. NASA was right. This is very plausible and relevant. And
it's super plausible. CRISPR's real.
Yeah. This could be happening in our lifetime. Maybe it is happening already.
It is in China.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying it's very possible that, you know,
our society goes down that road.
Sure. Or that that people already are.
Yeah.
That the A-listers, the creme de la creme, the Bezoses are asking the doctor, can you give him this color eyes? Can you make sure he's tall? Like, I don't think that's outside of the realm of science today.
I don't think with the right amount of money, I don't think at all. So at all.
Yeah. So we'll see where that journey goes.
All right. Well,
this has been Gattaca. Yeah,
Gattaca.
Check it out for sure. I highly recommend.
Definitely watch.
Yeah.
And this has been Stay Cool Forever. I'm Zach.
I'm Wade.
You can email us at staycool4ever@gmail.com.
I thought it was staycoolforever@gmail.com.
He's correct. Listen to Wade.
Spell the number out.
staycoolforever@gmail.com. I'm a fool.
And you can hear us basically anywhere they're doing podcasts. Stitcher, Pippa, Podma, right. Spotify.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Go get it, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.